This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 17. Today we hear from Dwayne and Shane with The Real Milk Paint Company, our June Zebra Review sponsors. Our theme is exposed wood, and our conversation with Dwayne and Shane evolves around products that are ideal for protecting and highlighting the wood in your pieces. Becky with Phoenix Vintage Furniture shares important tips concerning working with potentially hazardous chemicals. Cassie with Lolo Designs and Carrie Ann with Moonlight Market Co. share what they are working on in their studios this week. Ashley with Blue Wren Interiors gives accolades this week to a fellow refinisher, Courtney with Steelbert Studios. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. One of the exciting aspects of this podcast is the incredible opportunity to make new friends from refinishers to paint companies. Back in November of 2019, we interviewed Dwayne and Shane of the Real Milk Paint Company. Well, today we have them back, the father and son duo, and they are going to share about some of their products with a special emphasis on wood refinishing oils, finishing creams, and wood waxes. We're always so grateful when paint companies partner with us in our monthly furniture refinishing contest. And because June's theme for the Zebra Review is exposed wood, well, we thought it would be great to not only have the Real Milk Paint Company as our paint sponsor, but also have them on the show to learn more about their offerings, as well as get some tips on what products work best for protecting and highlighting beautiful wood grains. Great to have you guys back on.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
You know what? It's just been too long.
A lot's happened.
Boy, it certainly has, hasn't it? It seems coming out of the pandemic that many in this industry not only survived, but thrived. I trust you all have thrived. You guys done pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, the pandemic treated us very well business-wise. I mean, our business actually in the third week of the pandemic tripled in sales because so many people were working on home projects. So we've actually added a 12,000 foot square foot warehouse to our facility here as a result of, you know, proceeds from the pandemic. So we've survived very well. And from a perspective of the COVID itself, we were very lightly hit here in this community. So we're very thankful for that too.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. You know, the unpredictability of something like a pandemic, I mean, you really just have no idea of how things will unfold. And we certainly feel for so many that had to close their doors and in some cases permanently. Well, before we get too far along and overlook this very important fact, since the last time we have spoken, you all have begun offering a great selection of Zebra paintbrushes on your website. We're pretty excited about that. I think you carry, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you carry the round, the Palm Pro trim, the stubby, and I believe the 2-inch chisel wedge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That sounds right.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're very appreciative and grateful for that. Well, so getting back to our theme for June with exposed wood, we wanted to take some time to discuss not only your product offerings, but have you educate us on which wood protective coating products should be used for furniture finishing. And let me first ask you, how much of the decision of what protective finishes to use depends on what type of wood and or the look you are after?
Well, the overview of our company is you know, as natural and as simple as it can be as far as finishes go. So we don't offer every kind of finish out there that's, you know, that can be available in the big box stores. But, you know, the types of finishes we have, you know, are natural oils, waxes, and so that's the direction we go. So oils themselves tend to bring out a lot of the wood's character, and so you get a really nice depth of color of that the natural wood brings out when it actually has an oil on it compared to some other finishes, like a lot of water-based finishes, if you're, you know, won't necessarily bring out those types of color in wood.
Well, I appreciate what you just said as far as sort of taking an overview, maybe even a 30,000 foot view. If you don't mind, you kind of go through the differences between, because you have oils and you have waxes, and I believe you have some finishing creams as well. Just, you know, when somebody's looking at trying to protect their wood and, as you just mentioned, bring out the color of the wood and the wood grain, how do you know what to do? I mean, which direction to take between all of those offerings?
I guess the first thing I would ask is, what's your objective? Do you want a shiny finish? Do you want a hard finish? Do you want, you know, a heavy top coat, you know, look on your wood? So that's my first question to the customers is what's their objective? A lot of times we find that they come to us because they want a natural product because they're trying to eliminate toxins in their home. So in that regard, our half and half product, which is tung oil and citrus solvent, fits a lot of the bill for a lot of people finishing furniture and tabletops and chairs and countertops. It's a hard drying finish, polymerizes well, does take some time to polymerize, but it's more of a finish that soaks into the wood and builds up to the surface. So it doesn't give you that heavy, plasticky, thick feel on the wood. So you get to be able to actually touch and feel the texture of the wood itself. You know, would you have anything to add, Shane?
Yeah, I was thinking about like their waxes and things. I think even between the last time we spoke, we introduced our wood wax. And the wood wax is a really great finish for furniture. It has a lot of, it's a combination of oil and a wax. So you're getting, you know, some of the benefits of the oil, but you're also getting the benefits of the wax. So like the wood wax, for instance, would work great on almost any type of, you know, wood species. Even like on veneer, it would work well on, for furniture. You know, it's going to bring out the character, the color, you know, really deepen and enrich it. But with that wax component, you'll get a bit more sheen, a little bit of a smoother feel. And so it does really well. You know, it's very easy and quick to apply, you know, just buff on and buff off. And it can be used also over the half and half, you know, what my dad mentioned. It's another really good option, you know, kind of a little bit less durable compared to the tung oil, but very easy to maintain and touch up when needed. So, again, I definitely agree with what you said about the objective. It's kind of, you know, what are we looking for? You know, what piece of furniture, how is it being used? You know, all those sorts of things definitely play a role in deciding on what's best.
I was just going to say, you guys probably have a pretty broad consumer base as well. I mean, I know you cater to a lot of furniture refinishers, but it probably goes far beyond that as well. When it comes to the furniture refinishers, what do you guys see furniture refinishers gravitating to the most when it comes to your offerings for protective coatings?
The waxes are definitely good. Another oil that we offer is hemp oil. It's really classic for a lot of furniture refinishing, you know, over like chalk paints and milk paints and things, you know, kind of touching up old veneer and things like that. So hemp oil is a very classic option. But recently we've really seen a lot of popularity gain in our soft wax. Our soft wax, especially the clear soft wax, has really gone well. It's really easy to apply. Doesn't have any harsh, you know, solvent smells. It's not going to build up and get like a white haze, like if it's in a deep crack or anything like that. So we've seen a lot of popularity gain with the soft wax. And it comes in other like tints too. We've got clear, we've got a white, a gray, an ebony, and a warm brown, I believe, or just a brown, dark brown.
Key to those is they dry fast. So they're quick.
Yeah, and you know, when I think of waxes, and I think you guys touched on this, I think of elbow grease.
Yes.
taking some work to get the wax down. And sometimes I wonder how that affects, you know, the refinishers when they're thinking about what to put down, you know, because time is money. They've got to get these things in and they got to get them out and they want to do the best job possible. And so I wonder sometimes if waxes are looked upon maybe negatively because they do take a fair amount of work, and also correct me if I'm wrong, but once the customer takes the furniture piece home, they still aren't they supposed to sort of maintain it with a wax maybe several months later, or how does that work?
Yeah, the waxes are what I call a soft finish, so they're not quite as durable as like the tung oil finish. In that regard, so from the customer's perspective, you know, let's say it's a bedroom piece of furniture, you know, a chest of drawers, you know, and they're going to be using the top of this piece. Well, the wax will wear away, so then it definitely would need to be a touch up, a reapplication. The benefit of that is that, for the customer point of view, is and from the wood refinisher or the person they bought it from, is it's really easy to reapply, you know, so they really can't mess it up. I mean, it's difficult to mess up. So whereas some of the other things, like our half and half, you know, if it gets built up too quick and too fast, you know, and the customer goes to reapply it, sometimes they can mess that up. That's where the waxes come in. If they wanted a little bit more durable wax than the wood wax that we sell, which is the combination of walnut oil and carnauba wax, that's also very easy to apply. But that is more durable than like the soft waxes. So I think that's where the negative light comes in, is the durability of waxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe not so much the application process, but long-term durability. And I suppose a lot of that has to do too with just the fact that a lot of these folks are selling their pieces, and they want to make sure that once they're sold that folks stay happy and that they don't misunderstand that there may be another process for them in the future. But I think we have in our pantry, we have a wood top that's a poplar, I think is what it is. But we, you know, periodically will, put the oil, I think we've been putting hemp oil on it, but there's something about when you have a top, like a countertop that you're using, especially in a pantry, and it starts aging, and then it's actually a lot of fun to put the oil back on it and to bring it back to life. It reminds me of when I was a kid, my mom would go through the house with, I don't remember that. It had a yellow top on it. It was a polish. You guys remember that? And you spray the top.
Lemon oil?
Lemon oil. And you wipe things down. And then, like, once it's done, it looks so clean. And I feel like that's what happens a lot of times with the oil. It just brings out the beauty of the wood. And even as it ages, it just really enhances it even further. So I like that aspect of it.
A lot of times the way I look at waxes too, or even, you know, relate to customers, is almost like a permanence versus a convenience sort of, you know, mm-hmm. dichotomy. You know, there are a lot of very permanent finishes out there, you know, the tongue oils, you know, different ones out there, you know, and they do great. They're very durable. But typically the more durable they are, the harder they are to repair, when they do eventually get beat up, versus like a wax, which is less durable, but a lot easier and more convenient to repair. So it's kind of a trade-off, you know, you kind of have to see which you're more comfortable with, which your, you know, objective is. But that's a lot of times when I'm, you know, talking to customers and stuff, kind of putting them in that frame of mind of, you know, permanence versus convenience.
Yeah, that's helpful.
But hemp oil is actually a pretty comfortable oil. It, from a consumer point of view, it's pretty hard to mess it up. I mean, we rarely get a call back saying, you know, they applied too many coats of hemp oil, or, you know, it turned white on them or something like that. And the other thing about hemp oil, it is a polymerizing oil, so it does dry hard, and it is water resistant, though not as water resistant as the tongue oils, but it's still pretty durable, and it's hyperallergenic. So that's a great feature, and it requires no thinners. So no citrus solvent or thinners to use it. You can just apply it right out of the bottle. Yeah. And so it's a good all around, you know, interior finishing product for all wooden items, furniture, touch up, you know, things that get beat up, you know, furniture that you find at a yard sale or bring home and you don't want to refinish it, but you just want to bring it back to life. The hemp oil works great for that.
And it probably covers up some of the scratches too, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'll color them in.
Yeah. When you look at the pure tongue oil, the hemp oil, and then you also offer something that you've got listed as just a wood oil, what are the differences between those three?
Yeah, the tongue oil and the hemp oil, and actually the wood oil is really more of like a category, you know, that the tongue oil and the hemp oil would fall under. The biggest difference between the tongue oil and the hemp oil, you do have color. The color is definitely different. You know, the tongue oil definitely has more of like an amber tone, and it does get imparted to the wood. Every wood will take it a little differently. You know, some woods, you know, you don't notice that ambering effect. You know, they just get darker and deeper, like walnuts and things like that. Whereas some of the lighter woods, say like pine or maple or birch, you know, those typically will get more of that ambering, you know, honey color from the tongue oil. The hemp oil, though, in the bottle, it kind of has more of a greenish hue, but really when it goes on wood, it does stay relatively clear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't like impart a green, you know, tone to wood. So for those lighter woods like maples and things like that, if you're really trying to keep it light, you know, and not change the color, the hemp oil is a good option. You know, it'll bring out the wood grain and everything, but it won't like add a color to the wood per se. The other kind of big difference, you know, like what my dad mentioned, was the solvent. You know, the hemp oil, it's very thin. The actual viscosity is similar, I say, to like olive oil. You know, it's kind of, you know, similar like that. So it doesn't need any sort of thinner to really absorb and penetrate into the wood well. Whereas the tung oil, that's almost more of like, almost like a heavy, you know, like a motor oil or something. You know, it's all, it's just a bit thicker. So usually thinning it down with like a citrus solvent or like a mineral spirits or an odorless mineral spirits is needed, just to help it really work its way into the wood.
It's a high solids product. That's why it needs to be thin. The molecular structure of it is bigger. A lot of times we get comparisons of tung oil to linseed oil, and why linseed oil is not very waterproof. And so the best example that I can't say I came up with it, but I read it years ago, is if you have a jar of marbles and one has big marbles in it and one has small marbles in it, the space between the marbles, the big marbles, is the linseed oil. The space between the little marbles in the jar, that's tung oil. It actually polymerizes to a tighter structure when it cures, so that's what makes it more waterproof. It's not completely waterproof. I mean, some moisture can still move through it to some degree, but not very much.
What if you, let's say you've sanded down a piece to its natural state. Let's say it's, you know, something light like maple, hickory, or oak with that, you know, lighter tone, and you really like the way it looks after you just sanded it down, and you like that sort of natural organic look, but you know you need to protect it, but you don't want the gloss. You don't want the sheen, and maybe you don't even want to intensify necessarily the wood grain. Is there anything that you guys have that just protects it but doesn't change the look of it dramatically, let's say? Because I know anytime you put anything on that's wet and it's going to dry, it still does, has some effect on the wood itself. But what would have the least amount of effect on it?
I think of two products that we have, the finishing creams. So we have the low sheen and the dead flat. Those can go on those, and they won't change the color that you see at all, really, and they'll still give you a durable coating. The other, if you're a little bit softer finish, is the soft clear wax. Initially, you'll get a little darkening with that on the wood, but when it dries, it'll dry right back to the same color you're seeing the wood as it is naked. So, of course, then you're still, you know, the durability things you're talking about, you know, what's the intended use of the item? Mm-hmm. Like if it's going to be a kitchen table that's used every day, I'd probably go with the finishing cream, just because of it's more durable to wiping up every day. If it's a more occasional use thing, like a dresser or a chair or something, then the clear soft wax works well for that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't antique pieces typically finished with a wax, and then as they aged and were rewaxed and, you know, used and rewaxed, that wax content kind of builds up in the wood finish and almost creates a seal?
It does to some degree. I mean, it builds up in the pores for sure over time. I mean, and that was a waxing floors, not always here in this country, but in a lot of European countries, they did a lot of used wax on floors quite regularly over there, and it was a standard finish. You do see in some of the old textbooks, you know, making a lot of beeswax formulas, because beeswax is readily available, you know, 150, 200 years ago, and they could get it everywhere, you know, locally. So, but beeswax is a very soft wax, so it has a very low melting point, but it does offer protection as far as, you know, moisture resistance. So water will run off a beeswax surface, though if it gets any kind of heat to it, then it's just going to melt the wax away very quickly.
For your finishing creams, how does that compare to waxes as far as application? Is it pretty much the same process? Do you use a rag? What do you use to apply the finishing creams?
A zebra brush, of course.
All right, open that one door. Phenomenal.
You want to talk about that, Shane?
Yeah, the finishing creams, they're really applied well with a brush. And you can also apply it with like a rag if you wanted to, but brushes really tend to work the best. And as much of a promotion as that sounds, I mean, the zebra brushes really do work well. I've used them. And just the fine, you know, nature of the bristles and everything, they really help create a nice smooth finish with the finishing cream. So they do work well with the finishing creams. And I honestly recommend them to customers pretty often.
Tell them about your transfer project that you did for your wedding.
Oh, one of the things we realized was basically creating like a Mod Podge using the finishing creams. The finishing creams are essentially a water-based acrylic. So using a, I believe it was a laser printer, you know, you could reverse the image and then basically do a transfer onto wood. So you would put the finishing cream down to the wood. You'd then press the image, you know, you print it out from your printer. You'd wet it down to remove the paper, and then you could apply the finishing cream back over, and you'd create like a Mod Podge, you know, transfer, image transfer onto the wood. So it's a pretty cool little technique.
Oh yeah, that's very interesting. So help me understand that those steps again. So you're printing it on laser paper. I guess you probably have to print it reversed. I guess
I think it's mirrored.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you print it mirrored. You've got your paper, your laser paper, and then you said you apply the finishing cream on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right onto the wood.
And then you lay your laser paper down into that while it's still wet, of course, and then you apply. On top of the laser paper, then you apply more finishing cream?
So, yeah. So, right after the finishing cream dries with the laser paper, then I'd come back with water and just sort of gently, like, scrub the paper away. Because what it's doing is we're removing the paper, whereas the ink has transferred into the finishing cream, you know, slash wood below. So, the water is being used to basically just remove that paper, just to kind of disintegrate it.
That is really cool.
And then you could apply the finishing cream back over, just to kind of seal it all in and make sure it's, you know, going to be permanent and not go anywhere.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's such a cool idea. That really opens the door, creatively speaking, to pretty much be very customized in what you put on your furniture pieces or really anything for that matter.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's like Mod Podge is, I think, another word, you know, kind of used for that process, with transfers. So there's that's kind of just a little DIY hack we found with the finishing cream.
Well, I've seen people do similar things, but I didn't know that like you said, that your finishing cream would do that. That's pretty clever. Now I'm going to ask a question that is for my own benefit. Hopefully other people will benefit from this. So in our home, we have an older home that we've had for quite some time. And of course, you know how when you have an old home and you're always kind of working on it and doing things to it. Well, in our pantry, we sanded down the floor to its natural wood tone. And because at one time we had had it stained dark and then we put polyurethane on it. So we decided to change it up after many years. And so we sanded it all the way back down to natural. Really like that light colored oak. And then we actually went in to make it a little more interesting, and we stained in some, almost that diamond checkered pattern into the wood. And it's all great. It looks really nice exactly the way it is. The problem is, it's not protected. I mean, if somebody goes into the pantry and drops something on the floor, let's say it's a piece of bread or something or a chip for that matter, well, you clean up, you wipe it up, but then you see a grease spot. You see whatever has fallen and absorbs into that wood. So is finishing cream doable for a floor? Would that be an option? Because I really like the idea of the fact that you put this finishing cream on and it doesn't necessarily bring out the wood grain. It doesn't dramatically change the look that you're after, but you're getting that protective coating on it.
Yeah, we don't typically recommend it for floors just because of the durability issue of walking on it. Could you use it? Yeah, you could use it. I mean, but we wouldn't like highly recommend it for a floor use. Probably, you know, in your own personal home, it would be fine, but because you're not, you know, as hard on it as it would be in a more commercial setting. But to answer your question, would that work and would that seal it? Yes, it would.
Yeah, I like that. That gave me hope. That's cool. I assume dead flat would probably be, if you're trying to not have the sheen, dead flat would be a good option for that.
And the nice thing about the finishing creams are they're renewable. So if it starts to wear away, you can put another coat on at any point, anytime.
Now, And this would go for furniture too, but is it one of those things that, let's say I've got an area that needs a touch up with a coating, is it best to do the whole surface, or is it forgiving in the sense that you can go into a little area and sort of apply some down?
You're talking like a scratch on a corner?
Yeah, or exactly.
Something like that. The thing about a scratch is, first you probably have to add some color to the scratch, because the finishing creams, like we talked about, don't shift the color of the wood very much. So you might have to use like a touch-up marker to color it first. But mm-hmm. then you could in-paint the finishing cream into those areas on there. But the biggest challenge with a used piece of furniture and doing touch-ups like that is the sheen changes. It's because mm-hmm. a finishing cream will have its own unique sheen to it. Even if you get, I mean, you'd have to be sure that the sheen's matched. So if you had a very, very flat piece of furniture, first you'd have to test and let it dry to see if it's going to be sheen matched, because that's the hardest thing, you know, with it, you know, it depends on how big the area is. I mean, if it's a big area, like, you know, that's been worn off and hit really hard, that might be more difficult than a small area because of the sheen challenges.
I was actually thinking in terms of, let's say, if you've applied the finishing cream, maybe you've had it for a while and there's a couple places on it that you see maybe, you know, got hit or dinged or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to apply just a little more. Since I used finishing cream last time, I'm going to apply a little in this area. I mean, it's okay to do that. You don't have to apply it to the entire surface again, correct?
No, I would just take a zebra brush, you know, just lightly dip it in the finishing cream and brush it into that area and then fade it out around it.
I got to get some finishing cream. This really sounds like a great product. I love this. We're going to take a quick break to hear from a friend of our sponsor.
Hello, my name is Patty with Midlife Revival, and this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. I have been using Zebra brushes for over 3 years now because they truly are high quality, well-constructed paintbrushes at an affordable price. I also appreciate how Zebra has designed a variety of different brushes for a wide variety of different shape and size painting projects. I've used all of their brushes, but my most often used brushes are their chiseled wedge brush, the fan brush, and the stubby 2-inch angled brush. Recently, a new favorite Zebra brush of mine is that new top coat brush. Something that I dreaded and agonized over for years has been resolved with this new top coat brush. So if you haven't tried Zebra brushes for your painting projects, I hope you will soon. You will not be disappointed.
Thank you so much for your kind words, Patty. Now, you just because a lot of people, of course, are concerned about chemicals, and so the majority of your product, and even going into, of course, milk paint, it's important to note that we're talking very low VOCs, right?
Yeah, low to no VOCs. The milk paint would be considered no VOC. The oils, without the solvents would be like a natural VOC, which is like an important distinction. But yeah, definitely low to no VOCs across our entire product line.
Yeah, I noticed you guys put on some of your product, it'll say something to the effect mm-hmm. of food contact safe.
Yeah.
Can't get much better than that. Now, you guys sell milk paint. We've obviously, it's in your name, and I don't want to overlook that aspect of your business. How's the milk paint side of the business going, and have you added any new colors lately?
Well, we haven't had any new colors lately. It's definitely in discussion about, you know, doing that soon here. We've been busy with other things. But one thing we have been doing recently on our social media and whatnot is doing a Mix It Monday, where every month we've basically brought together, or we find a color we want to make and try and create it with our colors. And that's been a lot of fun. We've gotten a really good response from the community with that. You know, just using our existing colors and trying to whip up something new. Typically, zebra brushes are used. again, yeah, not,
yep, we like
not
that.
Trying to promote anything, but we just like them, so we use them. So, you know, but yeah, that Mix It Monday is probably the closest thing to a new color we've done in a little while.
Yeah, I like that too, and I know a lot of refinishers enjoy that because it's the chance and the opportunity to be really original, right? I mean, to have your very own color that is unique and exclusive. That's always amazed me, though, the mixing part, because so many folks do that as refinishers. And I'm always like, man, you got to really be aware of like what you're doing so that if you go back and you want to produce that color again, just make sure you take good notes and you know what you've done to arrive at that. Because, you know, I could just envision this person at a table like mixing. It's like, oh, I finally got it. I love this color. Wait a minute. What did I put in there to get it to look like this? I guess with modern technology, you could just put your phone on record and record yourself as you're doing it. Make sure you've got it.
I mean, we do make new colors, and we have to do a lot of, you know, experimenting and testing here. And it literally takes me nearly a week to make a new color because it's incrementally adding little parts of carbon black or yellow ochre, and they will shift the color quite a bit. So it's even with modern technology, you know, if you use scanners and so on, because we're dealing with powders, mm-hmm. I don't find a better way to do it than just doing it.
Yeah, and that's a big thing with the milk paint specifically. You know, we're using the pigments and the actual powders and stuff, so it's a lot less of just punching numbers in and, you know, this dye drops into a white base and voila, you know, here we go. It definitely is a little bit more labor intensive.
Yeah, just to put things in context of your product offering and then all the people out there that are using different types of paints. And I think, Shane, you may have touched on this earlier, but I just want to make sure I bring a great clarity to this. With the different types of paints, from mineral paints to milk paint to chalk paint, acrylic, all of these paints out there, would you say that all of the protective coatings that you guys offer, you know, we're focused specifically today kind of talking about protecting the exposed wood, but all these other paints, do most of, or if not all of your protective coatings work good on really any type of paint?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it would honestly depend. So with the oils, kind of a good rule of thumb, like especially like with the wood wax or the tung oils of hemp oil, the main thing we're looking for when we're going over any type of wood finish or paint is it absorbable, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know with like chalk paints or certain chalk paints and the milk paints, you know, they allow the oils to absorb into and through them. So we would be able to use those oils on there. Whereas a lot of times other paints like acrylics or, you know, latex or things like that, the oils wouldn't really work over those because the oil can't absorb into it. Now for those things like our soft wax or like the mm-hmm. clear carnival wax or the finishing creams, those would work over that because they don't actually need to absorb. And the soft wax and, you know, those products there, they also work over the other paints. But with the oils, we kind of have to have that requirement of it being, you know, able to absorb the oils.
Well, I'm glad we covered that. That's very good. Now listen, I love new products and you guys have a new product. You got to tell me about it.
Yeah, so we just recently, just the beginning of this month, we launched a new product we've been working on for a little while now, and it's a cutting board oil. We've seen a pretty big gap in the market surrounding cutting board oils. Typically, you know, when you look online, you'll see a lot of good options out there, but most of them have an ingredient called mineral oil, and mineral oil is a petrochemical. It's derived from the processing of, you know, crude petroleum, and it's got a lot of benefits and uses, but we saw a big lack of alternatives out there in the market for like a plant-based and mineral oil-free cutting board oil. And so that's what we created. We got our heads together and started doing some R&D and trying to figure out what would work best to give an alternative that would be, you know, plant-based, you know, similarly cost, you know, comparable, and offer the same, you know, application and use and very similar things to, you know, a mineral oil cutting board oil, but this one would be, you know, completely plant-based and, you know, natural. So that's what we've launched, and seen some really good response from it, even just in this, you know, first week.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Since launching, so we're really excited about it as a new addition to, you know, things to finished wood.
That's excellent. Love hearing about that.
One of the things we discovered is that you know, through our research, is that mineral oil is way more prevalent in the foods average people are consuming on a regular basis. And there is some scientific data that points to bioaccumulation in the liver, the spleen, and the lymph nodes, because it's your body doesn't know what to do with it. So, you know, I know there's a lot of, we might be, you know, throwing some shade on some people who, you know, are really fans of mineral oil, but you know, the facts are kind of indisputable out there. And we believe that we're offering an alternative for those people who, you know, don't want to take that chance and don't want to contribute to their diet with more products that have mineral oil in it, because it's in candies, sodas, grain manufacturing. It's pretty broad when you really start to, and you're consuming, everybody's consuming it, little bits of it, you know, throughout their day if they're buying, you know, foods from the store.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's so important. And really, you know, you're just basically educating people, and then you're also offering a product that gives them an alternative. And it's important. You talk about the liver. I mean, the liver is so taxed. You know, it's really difficult, I think, these days. A lot of people are talking about eating organic and making sure they're not putting chemicals into their body, because it does affect the liver dramatically. And then what the liver can't handle, the pancreas tries to pick up, and then that leads to other issues. So that's a very important point. And I know most of the listeners are concerned about that as well, because they're always talking about, as Shane brought up, is it low VOC or is it no VOC? I think just the awareness of those things, especially in this kind of a business and dealing with paints and top coats and so many different things out there that you're breathing in, even when sanding as well. So it's important to be safe. So that's an excellent point to highlight. Well, I have enjoyed, you know, going through your website to see all of the different offerings that you have, but I'm sure there's product that you guys want to highlight that I didn't necessarily bring up. I want to give you that opportunity. Is there any other products that you'd like to talk about here on the podcast?
Yeah, actually, one that came to mind as we were speaking here is our no VOC waxes. They're very similar to our wood wax. You know, they're great for use on any sort of wood and everything. They're also a walnut oil and carnauba wax combination. But those, the no VOC waxes, they have a color that's added to them. So if I'm remembering correctly, it's a warm black and chestnut brown are the two colors. So they're really great for, you know, kind of giving a tint to wood, but also giving that, like, you know, smooth feel from the wax content. They're just really great at being a no VOC. I mean, I know that's kind of a hard thing to come by sometimes, you know, so if you're looking for something like that, especially with waxes, it does not have any sort of harsh solvent smell or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So they're really nice to apply. You know, you could do it in your garage and not be, you know, feel like you need to walk out. so they're really good for adding a tint and getting some of that, you know, depth to the grain and everything, while also nourishing the wood and giving it a smooth feel.
Is the texture on it any different? Like when you're applying it, does it feel different or does it pretty much feel the same?
It really feels the same as the wood wax. It's kind of got a thicker sort of creamy feel. And usually we recommend applying it with a rag, just so you can really work it in. But yeah, they're very nice to use.
Yeah, the other product that comes to my mind that we offer is our odorless mineral spirits. And the reason why we started to offer that product is because a lot of the odorless mineral spirits at the store, the bigger box stores, they're the lowest grade of product that will meet that classification. And they actually have a pretty good odor to them if you've ever gotten any at the store. So we came across this highly refined odorless mineral spirit that's actually used in cosmetics and other things. And it really has no odors, because the benzene and other things that leave the residual smell behind are out of it. And there's just cases or scenarios where an odorless product is needed. We had a customer that was doing a big project up in New York City, and they were tongue oiling a project in a complex of buildings, and they couldn't have any odor at all. And so in that regard, you know, even we know it's a petroleum product, but we want to offer, if there is a petroleum product that's better, we'd like to offer that as well. And this year we're going to be offering that in a larger size. Currently we just offer it in quarts, but we're going to offer it in gallons too.
Well, wow, that's right. Well, accolades to you guys for really going the extra mile to make sure you can find products in each of these categories that are very safe across the board. That's just, that's phenomenal. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up too that I saw on your website is you have this calculator on your website. I feel like when I say calculator, it seems so old school, doesn't it? Does anybody actually have a calculator anymore? But you guys have one on your website and it is extremely beneficial. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the calculators, we actually have two different ones. We implemented those just a little while ago, maybe only a few months. One is a paint calculator, you know, kind of designated to be used to calculate for our milk paint. And the other one is for our finishing oils, which would be like the half and half, the tongue oils, and things like that. And really, they're there to get you as close as you can to figuring out what you need for your project. I mean, that's, you know, going to the store and trying to figure it out. It's hard. You know, I've done it before. You're trying to do math in your head on the spot. So we really wanted to make it easy, you know, as we can for our customers to understand, you know, what they need. And basically, if you can figure out the square footage, you can get a really close estimation of how much you'll need based on what our products can do, the coverages they have, and everything like that. So for furniture, it'd be great. You know, you can just plug in all your sides and it'll work it up.
Well, and I think that's helpful. I would imagine across the board, but I think especially for a lot of maybe newbies in furniture refinishing and they're kind of learning as they're going, and you know, to be able to have this help is really tremendous. So I know they'll appreciate that. Well, speaking of appreciation, we really appreciate you guys taking the time to educate us about wood and protective coating options, as well, of course, as for being our June paint sponsor for the Zebra Review. Where can folks learn more about your company and product offerings?
Yeah, if they want to learn more about anything we've talked about, they can just head to our website, you know, www.realmilkpaint.com is our website. You know, we're also on all the major social media platforms, you know, Real Milk Paint Co. So anywhere you can get there, you can find us.
We have a retailer finder on our website, so you can go there and punch in your zip code and find your local retailer and see the products, touch and feel them, and get some education from them as well.
You know, we do really try and, you know, offer like customer service with the phone lines, where you'll call and speak to a real person right away. If you're not comfortable with social media, the internet or whatever, we always have, you know, people here when we're in the office answering phones. So answer questions, help calculate paints and things needed, you know, troubleshoot, whatever. They could always reach us there. And that number is 800-339-9748.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to call a company and get a real person?
Oh, yes. Yes. You'd be amazed at how many calls we get, people going, you know, kind of, we'll say hello, you know, Real Milk Paint Company, and they'll get sort of like, oh, it's a real person. Like they're taking it back, you know? We're like, yes, we're here.
Yeah, we've always believed in that strongly as well. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to ask a question or have a concern, whatever it may be, and then you go to, you know, to ask a simple question and you spend 30 minutes on the phone, you know, hitting certain voicemail, you know, lines or whatever it is. It's frustrating in that way. Well, you guys do a great job across the board. We appreciate you guys, and thanks so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks for letting us be part of the June sponsor. Really happy to be.
Well, thank you so much. It was fun.
Today's refinishing tip comes from Becky with Phoenix Vintage Furniture.
Hi, Zebra family. This is Becky of Phoenix Vintage Furniture. I'm coming to you with a tip today on how to refinish furniture without sacrificing your health long term. The first part of my tip is to always test any previously painted furniture for lead. Lead-based paint was up to 50% by weight made of lead, and it was manufactured until the late 1970s. Households often had cans of this lead-based paint hanging around much longer than that. So even pieces manufactured in the 80s may have lead-based paint applied to them. I learned from Amini Design Ashburn that some antique furniture that isn't painted may have lead in its stain or sealer, so it's wise to test those antique pieces too. What I like to do, I buy a pack of of 60 lead test swabs on Amazon. It cost me less than $20. And I keep that in my purse along with a little vial of vinegar that's used to activate the test swab. I choose a place on the very bottom of a piece of furniture, maybe the back of a front leg, where the testing fluid won't be very noticeable if I don't buy the piece. It takes me less than 60 seconds to do the little test, and then I know right away if I can bring a piece home and sand it safely in my space. Another place that lead shows up is in brass hardware. Through most of time, lead was actually added to brass to make it easier to manufacture. So if you're scrubbing older brass hardware, some of this lead can be scrubbed into the water and end up on your hands. So you just want to make sure to wash your hands well before eating or preparing any food, or you can even wear gloves while you scrub for extra safety. The final tip that I have is really for those who are making or sanding DIY chalk paint. So one of the common DIY recipes for chalk paint on the internet calls for plaster of Paris. But when plaster of Paris is sanded, if you inhale those particles, it can lead to a dangerous lung condition called silicosis, not something you want to mess with. So to keep yourself safe from this hazard, first you want to avoid DIY recipes that use plaster of Paris for chalk paint. And then if you are refinishing a piece that was previously painted with chalk paint and you don't know what brand or recipe was used for that chalk paint because it was done by somebody else, just make sure to wear a respirator with proper filters so you don't end up with those particles in your lungs. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Zebra, for this podcast. I look forward to it every week, and I'm so grateful for the education and inspiration you provide for our community.
Thank you, Becky. It's always so important to be cautious when working with potentially hazardous paints and stains from the past. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hey there, this is Carrie Ann from Moonlight Market Co. in Stratham, New Hampshire, and I am so excited to be on the podcast this week sharing with you what I'm working on in my studio. I have four pieces that I am transforming for one of my custom clients. She is moving into a brand new home and wants to completely transform her space. So we have a tall dresser, and then a coffee table with two matching side tables. They all have a bit of a country flair, and they're really, really beautiful. And get this, they are all solid wood. Yes, I repeat, solid wood. The dresser is maple and the tables are pine. So I get to do a ton of sanding to expose that beautiful wood and then add in some pops of color. I think we're gonna go with Vagabond Blue from Melange Paints for the dresser and then an Epiphany White for the table. Most of the wood we're going to keep in a whitewash, and then we're going to seal everything with a polyvinyl wax. I seriously cannot wait to get started on these, and I'm hoping that you guys will come along for the ride. I share tons of tips and tricks over on my Instagram account. My handle is moonlight.market.co. I hope you stop by to see how these turn out and say hi.
Hey guys, this is Cassie from Lolo Designs. This week in my shop, I am working on two different pieces. My first one is for the Zebra Review June Contest. It is a three-drawer Eastlake dresser that I started off finishing it in a little bit of a whitewash, and then I came back with General Finishes Pitch Black Glaze. So it's giving it like a really, really neat weathered wood look while still showing off that gorgeous wood grain. So I'm excited to enter that into the challenge this month. The other piece I'm working on is also a three-drawer dresser. It's a little bit more feminine. I sanded down the curvy legs and painted the rest of it white. I'm debating whether or not I should just seal the legs or apply a stain, so stay tuned for that. But I did distress the fun little details all throughout the piece. So really looking forward to finishing these two pieces. I'm going on vacation next week, so the clock is ticking, and I hope to finish that over the next couple days. If you'd like to follow along, I am on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at @LoloDesigns_. Thanks.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. Accolades is defined as an acknowledgement of merit. Welcome to our new segment on the podcast called, well, Accolades. We wanted to give refinishers the opportunity to give accolades to their fellow refinishers that they admire for their extraordinary refinishing skills and hard work. This week's accolades are given by Ashley with Blue Wren Interiors.
Hello, it's Ashley from Blue Wren Interiors, and I would like to give accolades to Courtney from Steel Birch Studios. I think Courtney's style is classic yet fun and modern through her use of colour and texture. Courtney's designs add just enough visual interest without being too overpowering, and that's why I'm so personally drawn to them. They're sophisticated yet understated and have the ability to be styled in a room to blend perfectly with other traditional pieces yet stand out on their own. Keep going, Courtney. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thanks, Ashley, and accolades, Courtney. The trends in furniture refinishing constantly evolve and new ideas emerge, but there are constants, and one of those is incorporating exposed wood into your pieces. With that in mind, the judges for the Zebra Review wanted to see your refinished pieces with exposed wood for the month of June. You can have the entire piece in wood or just a portion, but seeing the wood grain is what we are after, so even light washes are acceptable. Tag your exposed wood pieces that were refinished from June 1st through June 30th, 2022 with the hashtag TheZebraReview. Our five judges will be choosing three winners. Our judges are Jen of Perfectly Imperfect Furniture, RES, Katie Cloud of Katie Cloud, Katie Scott of Salvage by K. Scott, Lauren Schwachina of Portland Rose Studio, and Sarah of Sitting Pretty Home Decor. Our sponsors this month include The Real Milk Paint Company, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paintbrushes. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra's Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode, along with information about today's guest, is also featured on enjoyzebra.com under the podcast tab at the bottom. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share them by sending your emails to me at laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and happy refinishing.